Let's read together Lamentations chapters 4 and 5. In the fourth lament of Lamentations chapter 4, we have a further description of the horrible conditions in Jerusalem following the Babylonian conquest. However, there is the hope of restoration seen at the end of the chapter. Chapter 5 is more of a prayer than a lament, and it is the response of the godly remnant in recognition of their sins as a nation and the sovereignty of God in dealing with them as his people. Let's begin by reading the first two verses of chapter 4. How the gold has become dim, how changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. Let's begin our study of Lamentations chapter 4 with some background notes. The book of Lamentations has been called the funeral of a city. In a series of five laments or funeral dirges, Jeremiah mourns the siege and destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. The resulting devastation and desolation of the city and the death and captivity of the people make up the content of these five Hebrew poems that comprise the book of Lamentations. Here in the first couple of verses of chapter 4, the image of the conquered city is tarnished gold. The people of Jerusalem were no longer like precious gold and gemstones, but rather like common clay jars, easily broken and thrown out as worthless. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for Lamentations chapter 4. There is restoration after divine discipline. There is restoration after divine discipline. Let's read again about some of the horrible conditions that existed in Jerusalem as a result of divine discipline in which God allowed his people to reap what they had sown. This is a divine principle of God's moral government operating within this world. An individual or nation reaps what has been sown. Galatians 6:7. Let's read verses 3 through 12 of Lamentations chapter 4. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. Her nobles were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger, for these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured its foundations. The kings of the earth and all inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. All of this sad fallout was predicted in God's law if the people would not obey and would not follow the Lord. Even the horrible act of cannibalism that we see here in verse 10. Read Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. In this connection. The sin of Judah was greater than the sin of Sodom, verse 6, because the Jewish people had the written law of God, whereas the Gentiles of Sodom did not. In verses 13 through 20, a number of reasons are given as to why God, in his anger, disciplined his people. We see in verses 13 through 16 that even prophets and priests, along with Judah's leaders, had perverted justice and shed innocent blood. Now they would wander as unclean lepers scattered among the nations. In verses 17 through 19, we see another reason why God had to discipline his people. They had looked to the foreign nations instead of the Lord for help and protection. But those same foreign powers became enemies that hunted them down. Verses 17 through 19. Still our eyes failed us, watching vainly for our help. In our watching, we watched for a nation that could not save us. They tracked our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near. Our days were over, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and lay in wait for us in the wilderness. We see in verse 20 that even the people's hope in King Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, had to be judged because he was a wicked king who did not follow the Lord. Zedekiah tried to escape and was captured by the Babylonians. Verse 20, the breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was caught in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow, we shall live among the nations. But now comes the good news in verses 21 and 22. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, you who dwell in the land of Uz. The cup shall also pass over to you, and you shall become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no longer send you into captivity. He will punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover your sins. There is restoration after divine discipline. The Edomites, who were related to the Jewish people, wrongly rejoiced with the fall of Jerusalem. Therefore, they would be judged. Read the book of Obadiah in this connection. Meanwhile, the discipline of God's people would be completed, and they would be restored and returned from captivity. There is restoration after divine discipline. The same is true today. God's discipline is not forever. Hebrews 12, verse 11 says that after God's discipline, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12, 11. There is restoration after divine discipline. Let's continue reading Lamentations chapter 5. Here we have a prayer of confession by Jeremiah on behalf of the nation. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our houses to foreigners. We have become orphans and waifs. Our mothers are like widows. We pay for the water we drink, and our wood comes at a price. They pursue at our heels or necks. We labor and have no rest. Our fathers sin and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot like an oven because of the fever of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands, and elders were not respected. Young men ground at the millstones. Boys staggered under loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking about on it. Let's consider a few background notes for this last chapter of the Book of Lamentations. We mentioned that Lamentations chapter 5, although it is a Hebrew poem like chapters 1 through 4, it is different from the first four chapters in two significant ways. Number one, it is not an acrostic poem using the Hebrew alphabet of 22 letters. Although it has 22 verses, like the Hebrew alphabet of 22 letters, it does not follow the Hebrew alphabet. We can't be sure of the exact reason for this. Number two, Lamentations chapter 5 is more of a prayer than a lament. It is a prayer of confession of sin by Jeremiah on behalf of the nation and a recognition of God's righteous sovereignty in his dealings with them as his people. At the end of the chapter, there is a petition for restoration. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Lamentations chapter 5. There is restoration after contrite confession. There is restoration after contrite confession. In chapter 1, fallen Jerusalem was pictured as a mourning widow. In chapter 2, she was pictured as a weeping daughter. In chapter 3, Jerusalem was depicted as a man suffering the affliction of discipline. In chapter 4, the city was seen as tarnished gold. And now here in chapter 5, suffering Jerusalem is considered a suffering orphan. Verses 1 through 3. In verses 4 through 18, we have a further description of the terrible conditions in the conquered city of Jerusalem, including poverty and starvation, verses 4 through 10. rape and execution, verses 11 and 12. Disgrace and despondency, verses 13 through 18. But notice that the purpose of this prayer is not only to bring these devastating conditions before the Lord, but to acknowledge that it was their sins as a nation of God's people that brought on this judgment. The point of verse 7 is not to throw the blame on the former generation, but to acknowledge that the nation had continued on in the sins of the fathers. Now in verses 19 through 22, the last verses of the chapter and the end of the book of Lamentations, there is a note of hope. Let's read these verses. You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. You know, at the first reading of these verses, it may not seem like a message of hope, but these verses were a message of hope for Jeremiah and the godly remnant of Jews, as we'll see. After acknowledging the total sovereignty of God and his righteous dealings with the nation in verses 19 and 20, there is the confident request for restoration made in verse 21. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old. I say confident request because Jeremiah and the godly remnant knew that the hypothetical conditions of verse 22 were not true, that God had utterly rejected his people and would be angry with them forever. They knew that because of the covenant promises that God had made with his people and confirmed more than once that God would not utterly reject his people. Read Deuteronomy chapter 30, for example, in this connection. There is restoration after contrite confession for Israel and for individual Christians. This truth is certainly taught in the New Testament for God's people today. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 9. There is restoration after contrite confession. Now, finally, what about practical application? Take heed lest you fall. Take heed lest you fall. You know, that's exactly what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. This exhortation was given to the Corinthian believers who were in danger of spiritual and moral decline if they did not remember the lessons of Israel's history. Now look again at Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 12. The kings of the earth and all inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. Everyone thought that Jerusalem couldn't be taken down. But because of Israel's sins, God allowed Jerusalem, the holy city, to fall. What a spiritual lesson for us as believers. If we, in our pride, think that we are invulnerable and free from any possibility of spiritual and moral failure, we need to hear this warning. Take heed lest you fall.